Welcome to Open Minds, the weekly sermon podcast from Christ Church Anglican Cathedral in Vancouver, Canada. Reflections provoking thought at the intersection of faith and culture.
Maybe you saw it on Facebook or on some other online medium that the House of Bishops in the Church of England made a statement about marriage. It was a not at all shocking statement. And I had some feelings about it. And so, taking Paul's testy letter as my example, I offer this. You know, I had this whole sermon that I started about our own belonging and what the cross might mean for us based on the 1 Corinthians reading. But I just felt a bit empty. And the words that I typed felt more disingenuous as I went. Because I feel like Paul could be writing this letter to us now. We still do not all get along or understand the teachings of Jesus in the same way. It feels to me more like the more we learn about each other, the more stories we tell about ourselves, about our own lives. The more we know about human expression and how we show love, the more we learn and know about human sexuality, the harder it gets to hear statements put out by churches about how marriage is, about who marriage is for, and why people think they're right about it. And I am so tired of this debate. I am tired of Christians offering literal readings of Scripture that tell us why they think marriage should be kept for just one man and one woman. I am tired of our expectation that the Bible and the Gospels should remain static, just laying on the page, waiting for us to literally interpret them rather than dig deep, learning about the culture that surrounded the people who were writing, and thinking about what that might mean for us. What we might need to suspend or to hold up in order to move more deeply into Scripture. I am tired of not expecting the Gospels to be living documents that beg for our learning and debate. I am tired of having Scripture used as a weapon to justify power and exclusion. Because that is not how my faith works. My faith is living and it is nuanced. And it changes and deepens and grows as I am more deeply engaged by the Jesus story. I believe in an incarnate God who shows up in all of creation, humans and plants and animals and sunshine and rain alike. I believe in a God who loves us into being and who looked at creation once she was done and she stood back and she said, "This is good." I believe in a God who continues to be revealed in our own revelations of one another as we grow into who God calls us to be. While we continue to fight about who is in and who is out, the world continues to cry out for justice. The earth continues to die, and humans continue to fight over its precious resources. And I cannot anymore. Paul writes to the people of Corinth, that we preach the gospel not just with our words, that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are looking in and salvation for those of us who follow this way. But what does salvation look like? Particularly for those of us who have to continue on with these ridiculous debates. I think that salvation might come in the form of knowing that you can acknowledge your own belovedness and belonging while still making space for others. That your belovedness takes nothing away from mine, and we are saved from thinking otherwise. Sometimes I can see why those who are looking in at us have walked away or might think that this is foolish. And on my bad days, I wonder why I stay. It feels hard to be the people who are being asked to make space for those who would see us as other, or who would quote ancient laws from Scripture that frankly disagree with each other if you read the whole way through, and take a whole lot of unpacking to make sense of in order to justify a very limited view of God and of God's kingdom. But I'll tell you why I stay. I stay because I don't believe that they're right, and I know that others would say the same about me. I stay because following Jesus forces me to be better, that the Gospels insist that I pay attention differently from the way that I am inclined. They ask me to look at the person in front of me and to be ready to change my mind about them. They remind me that holding on to negative reinforces negative, but that leading with love helps me move towards love. The teachings of Jesus remind me that though it is not easy much of the time, remaining in what separates us just reinforces our own divisions and does not allow me to see the version of God that is standing in front of me. We follow the teachings of a person who was kind of harsh, who made friends with outcasts, who did not hang out with the cool kids. He was clear about power and our need to separate ourselves from the political leaders of our times in order to see the people who are being affected by the laws that are in place. We follow the teachings of a man who listened to women in a time when women had no power. We follow a person who was not afraid to touch others who were seen as unclean. We follow someone who, when he was killed for pushing hard against the social and political rules of his time, still prayed for those who killed him. And that looks foolish, particularly to those who would cling to the power that they hold. And so when the Church of England put out its statement about marriage this week, I just could not. And I was grateful for the organization of our church who, despite our own failure to vote, has made it possible for those of us in this diocese who want to, and for this particular church, to make space for marriage beyond simply two people of the opposite gender. Thank God. But, like my children, who are all from the same family, linked to the same genetic gene pool, but who are all completely different humans in varying ways and have ways of interacting with the world that do not reflect each other's, so too is our church. Though linked, our church also has a variety of ways of showing us what following Jesus looks like. And as you can guess, we don't all agree about it. But that isn't what is important, I don't think. We don't have to agree. We have to make space. Because like at my dinner table with my children, all of whom are deeply loved and wanted there, so too are we. We are also beloved. All of us are loved and belong, even when we can't see it, even when the person next to us isn't sure. God knows. And God, our Maker, longs for us to figure that out. It isn't what we want that matters, it's what God wants. And I know that God wants us to see each other in love. That God shows up here. That none of us has only one true way or expression or connection to Jesus. And so I invite you with me to hold your head high, to look around this room, to see the beautiful expressions of God that are found just even right here. Salvation comes for us in the form of reminders that we are all loved and wanted at this table, that we are saved from having to judge one another. We are saved from choosing to other each other. We are saved from having to bow to the influences around us that do not know or who have forgotten that love is the way. We are saved from believing that we are any less because we are not. And the foolishness is that we would be any other way. We are not here to draw lines between one another. We are not here to judge each other. We are here to choose. We are not here to choose for God who is in or who is out. That way of being is not good for anyone, and it's exhausting. We are here to choose love and to create safer spaces for us to be reminded of our own belovedness and to work together to care for the precious gift that we have been given in one another and in creation. The cross is powerful because it shows us another way, a way into life. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Open Minds podcast. For more information on the Cathedral, its ministries, and how you can get involved, go to www.thecathedral.ca.